Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 14th day of July, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is open forum, and a sub-agenda will be a short discussion of the Apostle Paul. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambith. Callers will be welcome at the later part of the program, and we ask that you maintain decorum with language, also keeping your comments or questions as short as possible. We are in the question and answer mode. Our website is www.pastordan.net. That website also has a place for making a donation if you feel so inclined. That's on the home page at the bottom. There's also a schedule of calls, archives of past programs. There's a master list link there also where you can see every program we've done since 1999. And that way, if the program you're interested in is not on the website already, if you send me a short little email, I will be glad to upload it. We also have a lot of links there for current events and past information that we think is relevant to today, and it has to do with all the different topics. We have one page dedicated to health issues, which is paramount today. So again, PastorDan.net, I would ask that you check it as frequently as you can, especially the Daily Mail page, because emailing out information is getting more and more difficult as their algorithms are determining if you're sending out truther information or mass mailings or whatnot. Like Gmail is censoring that. Yahoo will do it from time to time. But just so you know, if you're not hearing from me about important issues, go to the website and look at the Daily Mail page, because that's where I'll put the information. We always like adding new words. I got another new one for you today. But first, we'll go over one that we talked about a few programs back called cacistocracy, because that is exactly what we have in the white world right now as far as our so-called governments, which are a complete waste of time and money. But we live in a cacistocracy, and you spell it K-A-K-I-S-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y, cacistocracy. It comes from the Greek. And it's defined as governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. Hallelujah. Does that word nail it or what? Cacistocracy. Now we got a new word that was sent to me today, earlier this morning, and I looked it up. And the main dictionary, of course, it doesn't show it, but the Urban Dictionary does have it. And the Urban Dictionary puts it as the belief that Jews are superior in human character or ability to non-Jews. Basically, it's Jewish supremacism. So it's a misnomer. It's actually Jewish supremacism. However, they don't want to be associated with that because they've got everybody brainwashed to think about white supremacism. So anytime you hear about supremacism, it's supposed to be against the white race. However, it's actually Loxism is just another way of saying Jewish supremacism. The meme that was sent to me lists it as this. It is the hatred of white people by Jews. It is the most pervasive form of racial hatred on the earth. and yet it is never mentioned by the mainstream of society, media, or education. It is the driving force behind most world events today. It explains why Jews were kicked out 109 times from European cities in the last centuries. Jewish hatred of the European Aryan race is the reason why Jews planned, pushed, and ran all of the following: the sexual revolution and homosexual agenda and rights, feminist empowerment and white couples' low birth rate, abortion laws and propaganda, Islamification of Europe, anti-white propaganda in media and education, multiculturalism, and dozens of thousands of horrible crimes, rapes, thefts per year done by non-whites on whites, porn or pornography, race-mixing miscegenation, the Church of Satan, atheism, secularism, moral decay, chemtrails, vaccines, fluoridated drinks, and poisoned food that destroy the intelligence, IQ, and health of white people. And finally, the certain future of whites becoming a powerless minority in Europe, America, Australia, and Canada by the year 2040 to 2060, and the complete eradication of white Western civilization by the year 2100. So again, that was sent to me today. Very interesting Loxism. You probably hear that as a, what should we call it? A diverse way of them talking about their own racism against all other races, okay? Let's face it, rabbis and prominent Jews lately have been very outspoken about the fact they consider themselves the premier race above all others. They admit it. Non-Jews are just animals to be used, sold, traded. Why do you think we have this all capital letters thing going on here in the United States? When the Jews got involved and they turned Washington, D.C. into a corporation, they turned everything into a corporation. Why? Well, think about it. What's the purpose of a corporation? To limit liability. What does a Jew always do? He wants to be not able to be held accountable for his actions. So the very idea that you could have limited liability through a corporation is anti-Christ. So, of course, Jews are behind it. So they want everything corporated, so they did that. Washington, D.C. became a corporation using their ability to finagle legalism and the legal system and the court system. And so you, being just mere cattle, became a human resource. And therefore, to differentiate between the man that Yahweh put upon the earth, which is the Christian spelling, initial capitals, and everything else lowercase, that is the proper English and the Christ-like or Christian name that you were given at birth by your parents and that you go by. But in the artificial realm, it's all capital letters to differentiate the fact that you're a dead man, you're just a animal. You're just a human resource to your masters, the Jew. Okay, so it fits like a glove, doesn't it? And again, all the things that have been hidden from us are becoming known. A quick verse here, and we'll get into some of our topics. John chapter 15, verse 10. Again, this is the book of John. This is not a writing of Paul. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Now, interestingly enough, in the Greek language, they have three different words that we translate as love, okay? So which one do you know are they talking about? Are they talking about eros, which is eroticism and sexual love, agape love, or philos? Agape, if I remember right, is, I can't even think of the way you'd want to put it in English. Now, philos, of course, is where we get Philadelphia, philos, brotherly love. So we've got three different Greek words, and again, it's like the Hebrew. They have four words for man, but your Bible has man every time. So the English speaker reading his Bible is left clueless as to what the original language was saying, unless you do the digging, unless you get a concordance, unless you get, now we have online concordances like the Blue Letter Bible, where you could get eSword, and that's an excellent program, by the way. Either one of them is very helpful in doing research, as long as you're careful. Again, anything electronic can be tampered with. That's why they want everything electronic. The Jews can spy on it. They can also tamper with it. So they can get in there and change the definitions and change what you see, just like they're changing the algorithms on Google searches and whatnot, so that when you type in a certain thing looking for information, they'll decide which ones you'll get guided to using algorithms or artificial intelligence. So we have to be aware of that. They have that ability to hide information or change information. Just like Hollywood is now making you believe that blacks were prominent throughout history, that Hannibal the Great North Africa. Somebody write it in there for me. I'm having a brain cramp here. Oh, Carthage. That's right, Carthage. The great general from Carthage that attacked Rome and could have conquered it. So, historians still don't know why he stopped. He had enough men and material there. He could have marched right into Rome and taken it. But he didn't. But they want you to believe it was a black guy, just like many other characters in movies and in history. They're putting non-whites in there because they don't want you to realize that civilization was built by white people. That's just a fact, okay? They don't want you to know that. They want you to forget it. They want it down the memory hole, so to speak, as it's talked about in the book 1984. You're not supposed to remember any of this. That's why the church world has been taken over and completely neutered as having any effect on this earth. Salt with no savor. It's good for only being trampled under the feet of men, which is exactly what the, quote, church world is today. It's a laughingstock. The Jews, through shows like All in the Family and different programming like that for years, have denigrated the church world, the Christian faith. Interestingly enough, I'm rereading some books, and I picked up a new book called Joseph of Arimathea and Jesus, or Yeshua, was printed back in 2015. Interesting discussion on the lineage that goes all the way from King David up through Joseph of Arimathea and Yeshua, how they shared a common heritage, ancestry. And it even goes into some of the people living in this day and age that have that same bloodline. Interesting things. Also, this particular book has some interesting things to say about the so-called Apostle Paul, which drove me into doing some research because of one of our listeners sending me a note. I often talk about the fact that Paul told us to not use his letters to create new law. Now, that came up almost 15, 16 years ago when I was up in Michigan giving talks and started the radio program. Somebody had asked me the same thing, and so I dug into it trying to find it, because once I learned something like that, I just store it away. And as Christ himself said when he walked this earth, it's written. Okay, that's all he said, it's written. He didn't tell you where it's written. I guess he figured you're supposed to figure it out. You go get the books and read them for yourself. All I remember specifically that it was difficult to find it. It was almost by accident that I found it. But once I did find it, I committed it to memory, the principle that his letters are not law. Now, there is a section in Peter, let me see if I can get that up here real quick, where Peter himself talks about, let's see here, what references Matthew chapter 5, where it says this particular website had stuff. Unfortunately, the church world ignored Paul's positive statements about the law, the Torah, and Yeshua's warning about the necessity of continuing to practice and teach the Old Testament commandments. But Paul was all over the place, much like you, if you're writing letters to friends about a specific thing in your day and somebody dug them up 2,000 years later, it probably would be very confusing what you were talking about, because your letters are written specifically to a group of people who would understand what you're talking about. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he says his letters, and he's referring to the letters of Paul, contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. So right in Peter, in his writings, remember, Peter and Paul didn't get along at all. In fact, most of the early church world did not take Paul's writings as, quote, canon until the establishment of the Catholic Church in the third or fourth century. So quite a few years went by after the years of Christ walking this earth and his crucifixion and the writings of his disciples. Quite a few years passed before anybody gave any credence to Paul at all. But if you look at the church world today, they base almost everything on 5% of the Bible, because the writings of Paul constitute approximately 5%. That's all, 5 out of 100. And yet, in the church world today, churchianity, I call it, in the church world, they're referring to the writings of Paul probably 95% of the time. Very little time is spent with the other disciples, with the prophets, and the words of Christ himself. Very little. It's all about Paul, because the Roman Catholic Church pushed Paul because Paul's writings, and some of them were doctored up, by the way. They have evidence of that. That's all referenced in this book I'm reading. So if you want to get a good book that talks about all this, written by two researchers and genealogists, husband and wife team, Joseph of Arimathea and Jesus, you can look it up and purchase your own copy. They have tons of footnotes and references in there, and they back it all up with the other writings of church fathers and whatnot. And they go into a lot of the motivation and agendas that were being played out. But the Catholic Church is truly the great whore, okay? And the Protestant churches are the daughters of the whore. Are you aware of that? A lot of people don't stop and think about anything anymore. They just get into the routine, and that's why Christ was so adamant in his denigration of the tradition of elders. Now, in his day, that was followers of the Talmud, which was just a bunch of rantings of rabbis, and people fell into holding it up as if it was the law, meaning the only law that matters, our Heavenly Father's law. And he said, "You guys are following after traditions and babblings of people and walking away from the Father's law." Well, look at our world today. We're doing the exact same thing, and the church world is the number one culprit. And it's all, usually, it's all based on Paul's writings. Okay? It reminds me of the Catholic I had a debate with many years ago. His name was Alfio, and his family was here from Sicily. And he and I used to work together quite frequently in the field, and so often we'd be in parts of the plant where nobody else was around. So while we were working and things were settling down between readings and whatnot, we'd enter in debates with one another, because I came from a, at that time, a more Pentecostal look, and he was staunch Roman Catholic. And we would debate back and forth, and I would tell him about the errors of the Catholic Church and the so-called monks and the hierarchy and how ridiculous a lot of it was. At the end of hours of discussion, he'd admit that the church was corrupt, a lot of it is nonsensical, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, when I'd ask him, why are you still a Catholic then? He said, because my family is. So he was typical of the average Catholic today, because my family is. In other words, it's tradition. Or he would say, if I left the church, my family would disown me. It's political power. Just as a former priest in the Roman Catholic Church, which was a Indian guy I knew who grew up in Morocco, and I'm talking about Asian Indian, okay, from India. He grew up in Morocco, became a Catholic priest, and left it and came to America to be a preacher in the Assemblies of God. But he used to tell me a lot about Catholicism and the way it's handled, especially in areas outside of our Western nations. For instance, North Africa and places like that. And he said it's a very powerful political system. It really doesn't have anything to do with God and the Bible. It's a political system. And he said, in fact, in Morocco and areas like that in North Africa, he said, when you go to the little hamlets and villages and you find out they're conducting black magic rituals, you'll find that the local Catholic priest is often the leader of the black magic rituals that are going on and practicing voodoo and all kinds of nonsense. So we have evidence of this kind of stuff going on all over the place. And that's why the Father told us to use the brains that our Heavenly Father gave us, and we're to search out matters. Remember, it says in Scripture that it's the honor, or it's the glory of God to hide a matter and the honor of kings to search it out. Aren't you kings? Aren't we kings? Yeah, we are. We have authority. We have, if you want to call it divine right, we're free men and women upon the land. And again, why it is a sacrilege to have your name spelt in all capitals. It's a sacrilege. So here again, the Roman Catholic Church and the Daughters of the Great Whore, which are the mainstream Protestant denominations, they're all basically the same thing. The only difference is the Protestants didn't want to worship the Pope as if he was a god, where Catholics basically do. Well, but everything else they kept, the rituals, the Bible that the Roman Catholic Church, quote, authorized. Okay, so who are the Catholic Church people to be telling you and I what's Scripture and what isn't? I'm just asking, okay? Tell me, why would we believe an organization is corrupt, especially in this day and age, if you can't tell, as corrupt as the Catholic Church, why would you trust them to be telling you the truth about what's fit to be put into a book called the Bible? And by the way, Bible just comes from the Greek word biblos. And biblos just means book. It doesn't mean any special book. Biblos is just a book. And the Bible was termed biblos because when it first came out, it was one of the very few books that most people had access to. The rich generally could only afford handmade copies of other writings, whereas the scriptures were a little more common, and it was called the book, or ha biblos. So today you've got people in churchianity that, like Jimmy Swaggart and Hagee and the rest of them, walking around with this King James and waving it in the air at this. This is the inerrant, which means with no mistakes, inerrant word of God. Is it really? I can find thousands of mistakes in the King James Version. In fact, I can find hundreds, if not thousands, of mistakes in almost all English translations. For instance, we just talked about it. The Greeks had three different words for love. I don't know of one single English written Bible that differentiates between those three different kinds of love. I don't know one English translation that differentiates in the four different Hebrew words for a man. Not one. Some of the better, newer translations, like Pastor Harrell in his annotated standard translation of the New Testament, he does a really good job of blowing a lot of the mistranslations of the Greek in the New Testament, but then he kept the word Jew in there. Why would any serious translator keep a misnomer like the word Jew in their work? I don't understand that, because there is no such word. Jew did not exist until the 1700s, even as we see it in English today. It most certainly did not exist millennia ago when the writers of Scripture. So why would any modern intellectual and translator use the word Jew? Unless he's trying to placate people today in the publishing world and these ultra-powerful Lossistic, remember, Loxism, Jewish supremacists that we have walking around to control everything and have a death grip on the white race. Why else would you use the word Jew? It doesn't belong in your Bible. What we used to do when a lot of us would get together for Bible studies back in the late 1990s and sometimes into the 2000s, we would take our Bibles, and when we had a group gathering, we would make notes. We'd take notes, much like the Geneva Bible, the people that put together the Geneva Bible. And that's why the King James was picked by the, quote, church world over the Geneva Bible, because the Puritans who brought that Bible with them, they had so many footnotes in there that it was very hard to deceive people that had the Geneva Bible, because the elders had put enough footnotes in there that it explained a lot of this confusion. And so they wanted the whole world to switch over to the King James Version. Now, for those folks out there that hand me this bullshit that the King James Version is the only authorized version, I'm sorry, but it's not. All right? It's not. If you look up the history of the King James and who was behind it, and again, all of the errors, there's no way that's by mistake. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What a botched... Now, and tell me, what English translation gets it right? I want to know. I've got lots and lots of translations on my shelves and on my electronic lexicons. Lots of them. And I don't know one out there that gets that commandment right. Because it's what it's telling you is don't race mix. How many people know that? It's as simple as that. Do not miscegenate. Do not mongrelize. And in the Greek, it means don't do it to anything. That means your dogs and cats, your vegetables, your vineyards, your fabrics. You don't miscegenate. It also means you don't allow hybrid seeds into your earth. You don't allow people to try to play God and create hybrids. And now we have GMO, which is even worse. Genetically modified organisms. We are living in a cesspool. Again, why I put so much effort into keeping up the page on the website dealing with health issues. Anything I can find to help you out. We're being bombarded on every side. It's just amazing what they're doing to us. But anyway, back to Paul. And again, Peter tried to tell us, the early church fathers, I don't have their names, it's in the book I'm reading, Joseph of Arimathea and Jesus, and there's other publications that have it in there as well. But the biggest problem I've got is, to me, it's very much common sense. Okay? I've got the fact that this guy came along, and by his own admission, he was hunting down believers, the Nazarites. They didn't call themselves Christians back then. A lot of people say, well, Paul was killing... No, he wasn't... There were no people called Christians. Christianos in the Greek. That was not used for believers. They were called Nazarites, followers of the way. Later on, covenanters, followers of Christ, but never called Christians. So Paul was hunting down and killed possibly thousands of Nazarenes, people who actually walked with Christ and followed his teachings. Okay, but then all of a sudden he had an epiphany, and now he's a follower of Christ. And yet even this one researcher put in here, if you'll notice in the writings of Paul, he does not speak of Christ as if he's a person, somebody he walked and talked with, and walked and talked a few years earlier than he himself with the apostles. All right? So, to me, it's common sense that here's this character that pops up out of nowhere. He never spoke to Christ personally. Christ had no interaction with him. His own brother, James, I'm talking about the brother of Christ himself, early church fathers wrote that Paul killed James around AD 65. Several of the church fathers, the ones that are most considered the most credible, attribute his death to Paul. So there's a lot of speculation, there's a lot of mystery, and as I've told people, just commonsensically looking at this, Paul is an individual, unlike the other people that wrote, who actually walked with Christ and quote Christ and speak of him as a man, Paul's writings are stuck in there as if they have the same weight, and yet Christ didn't know him. Christ didn't quote him. Even the New Testament writers, their testimonies weren't put into print till many, many decades after the passing of Christ. So the only thing Christ ever talked about was the prophets. And yet the church world today, the whores of the great whore, the Roman Catholic Church, put all their emphasis on the New Testament as if there's a new God and a new way of doing business, when Christ himself talked about the prophets and practiced Hebraism, not Judaism. They want you to think that what the Jews do have something to do with us and our culture. No, they don't. They're not Israelites, and Judaism has nothing to do with us and our faith. Hebraism, it was called. And he practiced Hebraism because even the words of Christ himself, he said, I am here to fulfill the law. And not one jot or tittle. Now, the smallest little marks in their language will disappear. So the law has never, ever been done away with. This whole concept that the law has been done away with is ludicrous. Christ fulfilled what? He fulfilled the husband needing to die so that he could remarry the bride. Why do you think there's so much emphasis by the words of Christ on the marriage supper of the Lamb? Yahweh, there is only one Elohim God, Yahweh. Yahweh put on flesh, walked this earth. That's the only way the life of Christ makes sense. And as this book points out very clearly, the early church fathers did not believe many of the things that are considered the basic tenets of, quote, Christianity today. They did not believe in a virgin birth, because the word for virgin was mistranslated from the Aramaic word, which means young woman. Didn't say virgin, said young woman. Okay, and there's a lot of other things we can go into a whole study on that. The main point I want to bring up here as quickly as possible is that I'm not telling anybody to take Paul's writings and throw them out. That's between you and the Father, what you want to do about it, all right? I've been studying this stuff for a very, very long time. And I take Paul's writings and I put them in a special category, as far as I'm concerned, as secondary biblical material. Paul is not to be taken to overdo any of the writings of the prophets. And he most certainly is not to be held above the apostles or the disciples who walked with Christ, who quoted Christ. Those hold the higher position. Excuse me, let me get a drink of water here. Got a frog in my throat. Now, the logic that I'm presenting here may not resonate with you, maybe it does. So again, this is an open forum, and either write in using the blog window or my email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com, and that's bydpastordan, altogether, @yahoo.com. So either send something to me there or put it in the blog or call in. That's open as well. So that we can discuss the matter, all right? Again, it's the glory of our Father to hide matters and the honor of kings to search them out. And that's you and I, as a team, as brothers and sisters, it's our job to search out these matters. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Correct? And that's what we're trying to do. I've been a seeker of truth for all of my life, ever since I can remember. I do not like lies and deceptions. It's one of the reasons I learned to be an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter, somewhat of a remodeler, auto mechanic, you name it. If I had the ability to do it, I learned how to do it myself because I got tired of people lying to me. And that way I was armed with truth because I had done it myself. You know, when you go down to the garage and you got your car being worked on, I made sure I talked to the mechanics long enough that they knew that I know something about auto mechanics. So don't even try. Besides, I would always tell them that anything you take off this car, you put it in the trunk of the car because I want to see it. And 99% of the time, nobody ever had a problem with that. I said, I don't want you throwing it away. I want to look at the old parts myself that you took off this car. And I'm going to look and see the new stuff that you put on and see if you did it right. It would be nice to be able to trust folks. And when I did find good mechanics, after a period of time, I would probably not question them as much or make them take everything and put it in the trunk. But that's only after years of trustworthy service. And I still would keep an eye on them and look for any obvious mistakes or obvious fraud. And that's part of our job, folks. We live in an imperfect world. So that's why I tell you to even keep an eye on me. And I was glad to see that John wrote in and asked me the question, okay? I just regret that I never committed it to memory or wrote it down in any of my logs where I found that Paul stated that himself. So now I'm forced to just go by logic and the writings of Peter, where he said that Paul's writings were causing much problem. The early church fathers, including James, who became the bishop of Jerusalem, and that's the brother of Yeshua, he did not particularly have anything good to say about Paul as well. That may be why Paul ended up having him killed, or killed him himself. So again, we don't have a time machine. So can I prove all this 100%? And can the people that I'm reading, these researchers who have done really diligent work, is it 100% proof? No. We can rely on what it says in the scriptures. The Spirit testifies to the truth. And the fact that Yahshua himself and the prophet said that Father would put his law upon the hearts of his people. That's why you have people walking out here that don't give a damn about what's in the Bible. They don't give a damn about God's law at all. Whatever man puts out there, they treat government as a god. They treat the hierarchy of the organized churches as if they're gods. In fact, Catholics even call the Pope the Vicar of Christ on earth, as if he is equal in power. No different than the Jews saying that rabbis have a right to countermand Yahweh himself. you see the correlation between the Roman Catholic Church and Judaism. They even both wear yarmulkes, for crying out loud. And yet people can't see it. I don't understand how they can't see it, but they can't see it. Angel put in here, Bible stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I like that. That's pretty good. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And it is basic instructions, but here again, there's a lot of material out there that's not in your Bible. You're not supposed to be just reading your Bible. That was a Catholic document, and there's lots of material out there that's not in the Bible. That's very, very believable and stands up to the test of scrutiny. Lots of material. In fact, a good way to show you that somebody's been playing with things is the fact that I have sitting right over here on the shelf a very large edition of the Bible from 1855. So what's that, about 150, 60 years old or more? And that 1855 Protestant Bible has the books of the Apocrypha in it. Does your Bible have it today? Now, the new American Standard has put them back in it. I have a later copy of the New American Standard, revised New American Standard, and it has the Apocrypha put back in it. So here we have, I forget how many books, what is it, 10 or 12? Of the Apocrypha, they show up in some and don't show up in others, okay? What's going on here? And even the King James itself at one time had the Apocrypha in it. So why are they in and at other times they're not? Okay, so how can you trust, put all your trust in a book that's compiled by people where over 10 books show up sometimes and sometimes they don't? And then you have to add on to the fact that none of the scripture were written in English. They were written primarily in Hebrew and Aramaic, which later on became Greek. That's the best you got. The Septuagint in Greek, some of the Aramaic survived, not much. And then you have to be able to interpret properly 2,000-year-old Koine Greek. My point of it is that we were warned to beware of false teachers, which I think Paul at times can be thrown in there because either he purposely wrote confusingly or it's confusing trying to figure out why he was saying what he was saying to these particular churches, these groups of people in these particular churches. So false prophets and the lying pen of the scribes. And here, let me postulate something for you. If Yahweh wrote his law on the hearts of his people, do you think he lied? Do you think that's a lie that he didn't write his laws on the hearts of his people? So if he wrote the laws on the hearts of his people, shouldn't we be able to discern whether something makes sense in Scripture or not? Now, there are a lot of writings in Paul, and that's why the modern-day church likes to use it, that make you think the law has been done away with and works are of no avail, but that's not true. And the early church fathers also taught that that was not true. Works are important. Works in and of themselves don't save you. The grace of Almighty God is what saves you, soter in the Greek. But your works are important. If you have no works to show them, then what the hell good is it? What are you going to stand in front of the Father to show for the meaning of your life? What did you do? He said, you know, the parables talk about the talent given to the woman and sometimes the workman, and they were questioned is, what did you do with the talents I gave you? Talents there being money, but it could also be talent and ability as well. Okay, I gave you either monetary wealth or talent, what are you doing with them? Now, Gary says here, can you quote any scripture that contradicts Paul's writing from Yeshua's teaching? I've got a whole document full of stuff like that. Again, it depends if you take it and twist the meaning of what Paul was saying. Because he even contradicts himself at times, and that's what makes it confusing. I'm looking here, scanning. I got a whole document. What I'll do, I'll send this to you if you like, and you can look down through it. There's a lot of people that put that out there, and again, all I'm saying, as far as Paul is concerned, Paul was a, so to speak, Johnny-come-lately, who did not walk with Christ, and he wrote letters to particular groups of people called, we call them churches, but they weren't actually churches. Ecclesia is just called out people. They didn't actually have church buildings. They often met in people's homes and gathered in groves or whatever, but they did not have a, quote, church. And he was writing to groups of people in those early days. And the early church fathers did not even hold those letters up as if they had any kind of special meaning, other than just letters from Paul to groups of believers. All right? Now, it would take me quite a while to go down through all of Paul's stuff and go into where he contradicts the teachings of Christ. And again, it depends on how you take the context of what he was writing. And that's where, if you don't speak Greek, you can get confused and misled quite easily, actually. But my point of it is, if Paul's writings are in agreement with Yeshua, then again, why do you need Paul? You have, Paul doesn't quote Christ because he didn't walk with Christ. Whenever Paul writes anything that's supposed to be spoken of Christ, he's getting it from somebody else. So did he get it correctly or not? The point of it is, if you have Yeshua teaching through his disciples and you have the prophets, then what's the value in Paul's writings? I would like to know. Somebody come in and tell me. What's the value that Paul adds? Explain it to me. I already have the prophets, and the prophets were quoted by Christ himself. I've got all that. It's called the Old Testament, which is three-fourths of the thing you call a Bible. Okay, I've got all that, and then I've got Christ walking with his disciples, and they write what they wrote about what he said. So explain to me, why do I need the writings of Paul? Even if you believe they follow the teachings of Yeshua, why do I need them? Just because it's in the book called the Bible? Even Thomas Jefferson had his own rendition of Holy Scripture, where he would take out what he thought was either falsification or mistranslation. And I can pretty much guarantee, I don't have a copy of it sitting here, but I can probably guess that he had a lot of things written by Paul cut out of his version. And again, you can do what you want to do. I'm giving my perspective from my reading and my research and for what the Father's laid on my heart. That the most contention that we have in our circles, the most contention revolves around something Paul wrote. Even to the point, like I said, I've had congregations walk out for just doubting Paul. That's all. Just saying, why are you taking Paul's writing over a direct quote from Messiah or a direct quote from a prophet? Why, how in the world do you do that? My mind cannot comprehend that. So you explain it to me. Teach me how that makes sense, because in my mind it does not make sense. And I've said it and I've stood behind it for probably 30 some years now. if there is any contention, meaning if there's any mismatch between what Paul writes and what was taught by the prophets and Yeshua himself through the other disciples, then Paul's writings have to be put off to the side. I don't see any other way. And I don't understand the love of Paul. What? Why? Where's the deification of Paul come from? Again, we have writings of the early church fathers that did not consider Paul's writing to be of any value at all, other than just reading material. Much like any other historian or any other person that kept a diary or kept a documentary of the life of somebody else, just like Josephus. Okay? That'd be like me coming in and saying, I want to put the writings of Josephus in the middle of the Bible. And I'm going to call it canon. I'm going to sit around with a bunch of other Roman Catholic Jewish imposters, and I'm going to say I'm going to bless the writings of Josephus. Josephus is now Holy Scripture. Really? You see my point? And again, if you just think for a second, if Paul's writings disappeared from the Bible, what harm would have been done to the Holy Scriptures? What harm? Because most of what he wrote, again, was his opinions being expressed to a specific group of people at a specific time in history and what his opinions were. So here again, I've got more work to do on it, and as I go through it, I will try to bring to light any of the new things that I find. But there are some bones of contention when it comes to Paul, and I don't believe Paul should be a stumbling block to our people in any way, shape, or form. We have much too much information to agree on than to sit and argue and disagree on the writings of that particular individual. Again, a book I would recommend if you have a chance to get it is Joseph of Arimathea and Jesus, written by I believe her name's Hammonds. It's a husband and wife team, researchers and genealogists. They make a lot of good points, very good points. Another thing I'm going to cover in the near future is a organization that I have stumbled across because of some things that have happened here recently, obviously, is a organization called Death with Dignity. Now, a lot of people might say, well, what's that all about? Well, if you've watched any of your loved ones go through the palliative care that's given by the medical mafia in cases of like cancer or debilitating injury or disease to where there's literally no way of coming back, certainly no way of coming back and having any kind of quality of life. You might be, quote, technically alive, but you're unable to speak, you're unable to move. That's not living. I'm sorry, but that's just not living. Let me ask you this question. If your household pet were in that condition, what would you do? I don't know of anybody that keeps a pet around that's just sitting there and breathing, but it's not able to do anything. And people say, well, that's not the same thing. Really? Really? You would not put your pet through that, but it's okay to put your loved ones through that? Like I said, I've been through it more times than I care to admit, watching what the medical mafia does at the end of life to our people. And I don't know how it could be called anything but torture. Oh, the book was written by Robert and Emma Nelson. So thank you to the listener who sent that in. Robert and Emma Nelson. Joseph of Arimathea and Jesus. It's not a very big book, but they put an awful lot of research in there, and it's very fascinating material. But here again, go to your prayer closets, go in prayer to the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit telling you about Paul and the writings of Paul? What does it tell you? What does your gut tell you when you're reading? If you come across anything that he's talking about that's a contradiction. And again, a lot of it is a point of view, okay? Now, if there's people out there that want to be an apologist for Paul, you can take some of his things and kind of twist it to where you think he's following what Christ taught. But there's also a lot of the church world that takes his writings literally, and they're leading our people away. And I've heard it from people in churches. The law has been done away with. And who do they quote? Paul. How many times have I heard over the years when talking about the food laws, well, Dan, that's part of the Old Testament, and the law has been done away with. How many times have you heard that, folks? I've heard it plenty of times. I grew up in the Methodist Church. I've been to Baptist Church, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Assemblies of God. I've even attended a few Catholic services with friends just so I could see what was going on. But I've been in a lot of Protestant denominations, and one of the common themes there is we don't need to worry about the law. It's been done away with. And where do they go when they say that? Typically, they go to the writings of Paul. And again, I'm not saying they're translating it correctly, but they're using it, they're twisting it to try to get our people to believe that Yahweh's law is done away with. Now, let me ask you, do you think Yahshua, when he walked this earth, do you believe he followed the food laws or not? My question, do you think he taught the law was done away with? He fulfilled some of the law. Animal sacrifice was no longer necessary. He said, I'm the final sacrifice. My sacrifice, my life being shed, is sufficient. Okay, that's what he said. But he didn't say the law went away. He just said, I am the perpetual fulfillment of that sacrificial demand. He didn't say it was evil. He didn't say it was done away with. He just said, my blood is sufficient to cover that. That's what I'm here for. So in your church world, when you run up against your family members and everything else, and they tell you that the law has been done away with, ask them to prove it and take note of what part of the Bible they go to say that the law has been done away with. And again, I'm not saying they're translating it correctly, but where do they go? They go to the writings of Paul, typically. And that's all I'm saying is I don't need the writings of Paul to know the mind of Yahshua or the mind of my Heavenly Father Yahweh. I don't need them. Obviously, they're still in the book. I haven't torn those pages out. I'm just saying I don't need his writings. I don't need Paul to verify Christ or the apostles or the prophets. I don't need it. Maybe you do, but I don't need it. But anyway, death with dignity is a subject that we're going to talk about frequently because I think it's a time that's come. Some states have already written laws allowing for people to be in control of their own destiny, which is our God-given right. It's not a state thing. State needs to stay out of education, how we raise our children, health care, and end-of-life scenarios. That should not be left up to bureaucrats, ever. Yahweh put us here, he gave us life, and he gave us decisions to make. And that would include how we leave this earth. Colossians 2:14. I'm just, let me go grab that. Colossians 2:14. And see what it says. Wiping out the handwriting and ordinances which was against us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Well, that's okay. There you go. That's a writing of Paul. Having stripped the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Again, what I'm saying is, Paul may not at all times be addressing our Father's law in his letters, at least the way they've been interpreted, and it does appear at times, like here, nailing it to the cross. I've heard that literally said, he's taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, meaning Christ and his coming. Took the law and nailed it to the cross. Really? And that's in Colossians chapter 2. Again, you're going to stand in front of the Father on your day, and you're going to give a testimony in your own words to him. And you're going to justify to him your actions or inactions on that day. Not me. I'm not going to be standing there with you. None of the other listeners are going to be standing there with you. You alone will stand in front of the judge, our King of Kings. You alone. So we're only here addressing all this as a team, as a family, discussing matters to search out matters that seem to be causing conflict in some of our brethren. Nobody's telling anybody what to do, not from this platform anyway. Far be it from me. I'm just making points as I have been shown things, as my research has shown me, and in prayer through the Holy Spirit, because it makes sense to me, and because so many people have tried to convince me the way of the modern day church world is correct, and 90 some percent of the time they'll go to the writings of Paul and take his writings and put them into their doctrine, because in the English you can take a piece of this and say that that's what he's telling you. That he nailed it to the cross, meaning taking it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, when that's actually not what happened at all. You see my point? So Paul has always been a bone of contention. Why it's made such a bone of contention, I don't know. Because, like I said, I've got so much scripture that I can rely on. What Paul has to say really doesn't bother me one way or the other. When it agrees with the prophets and Yeshua, okay, that's fine. But if it looks like he's going off on a tangent because of the way it's written in English, then I ignore it. Because I don't need Paul. And Paul doesn't outweigh the disciples and the prophets who walked with Christ and quoted Christ. That just makes common sense to me. So, again, if I'm wrong, point it out to me. Because it just makes perfect sense to me. Let's see here. Okay, very good. The storm that's hit Louisiana and Alabama, Barry, the hurricane, is Category 1. I think you've probably seen a lot of stuff on it. Douglas Ducote, the former law enforcement and veteran in his channel, he was actually at the parts of Louisiana being hit. It didn't look all that fierce to me. There were some channels talking about 60-some mile-an-hour winds, and he was standing right there. Maybe there's some place that was, that he said, but it wasn't where he was at. It was no more than 40, 45 miles an hour at most. So, you know, a lot of storms, a lot of volcanoes, a lot of earthquakes of late. Again, the Great Shakening is not talking about earthly type events as much as it is political. And certainly the political is a complete upheaval at this time. Just the kakistocracy we live in is in your face ignorant. It's just unbelievable stupidity and ignorance coming out of Washington and most state capitals. Just unbelievable stupidity and ignorance. And I don't know, at this point, I don't know if the white race will ever wake up. When you get things this bad and you still can't get white people to get off their ass, I don't know that you can ever get them off their ass. In the scriptures, it says that he told us that if I didn't come back when I did, there would be no flesh saved. And you can see that happening. Between the poisoned food, water, air, etc. That's why we talk so much here about health issues. I've lost beloved family members recently, my sister, and all of it was preventable. That's the one thing that I can tell you. Every relative I've lost was preventable. If we had a godly society, they were preventable. If we lived in a world that was governed by the laws of the Almighty, they were preventable. And the reason they're not here with us today is violation of his law. Every time. Every time. And case in point, he told us to be careful what we allow in our eyes and our ears, and our people are watching what? Flat screens, images of the beast. And what that means is images controlled by the beast. Of is possessive. Images of, controlled by, generated by the beast. Almost nonstop, from the time they get up in the morning till they go to bed at night, nonstop propaganda. And because of that, they don't listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can't shout out electronic toilets. You're never going to hear that still small voice trying to tell you and bring reason into your life if you're constantly in front of an electronic toilet. You're never going to hear it. Or if your pineal gland is completely contaminated, and it's interesting, the pineal gland is called a third eye, even in the medical world. It's a third eye because it's made of rods and cones. Exactly the way your eyeballs have rods and cones. And what are the rods and cones in your eyeballs? They're antennas. They pick up light frequencies and turn them into an image in your brain. What you're seeing is just reflections of light frequencies bouncing off solid objects into your rods and cones of your eyes. And that is turned into a signal that goes to the brain and makes it an image. Well, your pineal gland, and pineal means pine-like. That's why I say the proper pronunciation of the word is pineal, like pine, pine cone, pineal. That's what it means, shaped like a pine cone. It's a little gland right up in your brain there, very, very tiny, but very important. Pineal, the third eye. It's your antenna to the other side, your antenna to your Heavenly Father. If it's polluted, and the odd thing is, the medical world will even tell you the pineal gland is extremely sensitive to what? Contamination. And what do you think they're giving you in your vaccinations? Contaminations. What are they giving you in GMO and hybrid seed crops that they're selling you on the shelf? Contamination. What are they giving you in the factory produced, quote, foods that look packaged so nicely and pretty with all the dyes down there? Contamination. How many of you go out into nature and spend any time in nature? God forbid you actually grow some of your own food. Now, Boone put in here that the pineal gland cannot distinguish light from EMFs. That I have not heard of. Not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I have not heard that yet. So if what I think you're saying, Boone, is it's the EMFs that they're putting, the electromotive forces or the RF, radio frequency signals like Wi-Fi and cell phones, are adding further confusion to the pineal gland, if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly, which does make sense. Now, Zechariah in chapter 14, verse 9, he tells us, Yahweh will be king over all the earth. Yahweh doesn't say this new guy called Jesus, which, by the way, was never in the original languages at all. And yet you got people saying, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I'm baptizing you in the name of Jesus. He was never called Jesus. There is no such word. There is no such name in antiquity. There is no such thing. And we've talked about where in the German language the word Jesus comes from, and it was actually Jesus, exactly as the Greeks called his name. In the German Bibles, it's J, what we call a J. Their letter is called Yot, because it's pronounced like a Y, just like the Greek, Yota. And just like the Hebrew, Yod. You notice anything different, or I mean similar there? Yod to Yota to Yot. No change. Our language, clear back to the original Hebrew. Yod, Yota, Yot. So in the name of Jesus, but it says here, Yahweh will be our king over the whole earth. In that day, Yahweh will be one, and his name one. Not two. Not three. Where did the idea of the Trinity come up? Again, Zechariah chapter 14. And I still like what Richard Buckminster Fuller told us here. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. The current government of Washington, D.C. and our state capitals is obsolete. Why? Because it's ineffective. It's working against the interests of we the people. And we the people, the original people of these colonies, of this North American country that we're sitting in, were white Anglo-Saxon believers, Nazarites, followers of the way. That's who the people are here. When it says we the people, it's not everybody. Just like the scriptures weren't written to everybody. You know, they'll say Paul talks about that too. Take it to the Jews and Gentiles. Was that in the original language? No. Is that what Christ actually said? Well, Christ said what? Go to the lost sheep. Did he ever say go anywhere else? No. He said don't go the way of the Samaritans. Don't go to the non-Israelites. He said go to the Israelites. But what does the church world say is our great commission for the church world is to what? Save souls. Go to all mankind. You want some contention between Paul and Christ? Right there is some contention. They'll take Paul's writings where he said that. It might be a mistranslation, but it's still what they use. When Christ said just the opposite. This message meant for my lost sheep. That's all. Just the lost sheep. Boone says here, sleep in the total dark. EMFs mimic light, so we don't sleep correctly and don't secrete the melatonin. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that makes sense. We should shield our bedrooms from the EMFs and the Wi-Fis and everything. There's material. There's paints. The Germans have developed a paint for the outside of a house or the inside where you can paint the walls of, say, a bedroom where you sleep. And then you can paint over it anything you want, but put this black paint on the walls and it will shield that room from the Wi-Fi and cell phone signals and things like that. There's a lot of material starting to be developed that can help us in that area. And it would certainly make sense because getting good sleep seems to be getting harder and harder. A lot of our listeners are writing to me and calling me and talking about the fact that ringing in their ears, very disruptive sleep. And if you look up online, you can do Google searches for the symptoms of sleep deprivation. And you can also look up the harm that sleep deprivation causes. It's pretty bad. And if you take a whole population and they're deprived of good, restful, REM sleep, you're going to see a lot of what we see today, which is what? Agitation, anger, hostility, inability to reason properly. We're under assault. This is a war. Make no mistake about it. This is a war. And so we have to muster all of our weapons to fight it, which is what? Our intellect, our communication with each other, seeking out the different forms of truth. So that we can. I'm just reading what Bubby1483 says right here. He says, change the money system, which will break the evil back. Well, the Book of Revelation by John tells us that that is exactly what Father's going to do to bring Babylon to her knees. He's going to wipe out their phony money system. So we'll see if it's true. He also says, I wake up several times during the night. The night becomes a long journey to me in my aging process. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I've even noticed here, especially lately, that a lot of weird dreams. I've dreamed almost all my life, but these are weird dreams. These are disconcerting type dreams. So we'll see. Once you become fearless, life becomes limitless. And this is a reference to Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Now, it's not talking literally there that if you just want to stay alive, you're going to die. That's not what it's talking about. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. Okay? It's talking about, again, the enemy uses fear all the time. It's fear-based porn. Fear porn is what we call it. But by using fear, they're manipulating us. And what the scripture is trying to tell us there is if you lose the fear of life, then you gain your life. You gain the ability to make rational decisions without the fear being part of it. Do you see what I'm saying? Because right now, you talk to anybody about any subject, what is the very first thing that they'll always bring up? If we're talking about health, the very first thing that people here in America will talk about is it covered by insurance? Well, no, I have a naturopathic doctor. Oh, that I can't do that. Well, I use herbs. Are they covered by insurance? Well, no. Well, I can't do that. I can go buy these $100 a pill pharmaceuticals because insurance covers that. You see, so it's fear. Fear of what? Fear of having to pay money out of their pocket. So the insurance company now becomes the guidance of decisions rather than logic or rational thinking. That's what Father's saying. You want to save your life? You have to think outside the box. You have to drop the fear. That's where he said, will I find faith when I come upon the earth? Will I find faith? Short answer, not much. Not much. We've got more faith in doctors, pharmaceuticals, government agencies, bankers, televangelists, government officials, law enforcement. We'll fear all of those. We give reverence. That's what reverence means, fear. Revere God is to fear and reverence Him. So you've created false idols, and your fear of them is greater than your fear of the Almighty. In fact, most people today that I see don't fear Yahweh at all. But they've got lots of fear about everything else. Well, they might take my phone service, or they might shut my electric off, or they might shut my water off. Last time I checked, when Yahweh put Adam upon the earth, He didn't give him any of those things. He didn't give him a money system. He didn't give him factories that pump out manufactured goods. He was put here to do things and live off the land. Well, what does that do? That makes sure that man does not upset the natural order of things by creating things that are unnatural, like petroleum products, like plastic, or steel and aluminum things that don't rust or rot away. We made everything with living materials. We're finding out now that you can make hempcrete, which is biodegradable, and it's even stronger than concrete, yet it is lighter than concrete. Why aren't we using it? Good question, right? Same thing with hemp oil, which is very medicinal, but hemp oil could be used to make plastics, which are stronger than the current plastic, but they're biodegradable as well. People say, well, Dan, you want to go back to living in a cave? That's not what I'm saying. If you like your man-made products, can't we at least enforce that they're made biologically sound, or green, if you will? Okay? Again, here we have an oil from a plant. And by the way, hemp is a cleansing plant. Hemp will actually clean the air and the soil that it's grown in. Did you know that? This plant is like a miracle plant. No wonder the Antichrist don't want us using hemp. It is extremely beneficial to mankind. Hemp oil for plastic. Hemp oil for a lubricant. Hemp oil as a medicinal tonic to the body. Hemp fiber for clothing. It's soft as cotton and more durable. Hemp fiber to make paper, which is much stronger and much more durable. The U.S. Constitution was written on hemp paper, and it's still here today. Hemp lasts much, much longer than wood-based paper that you've got today. And it's recyclable, and it's beneficial. It doesn't harm the environment. And besides that, you can make 10 times as much paper from an acre of hemp as an acre of trees. And trees take a long time to grow. Hemp, hell, here in Florida, you could probably get 2 or 3 crops of hemp in a year. You're not going to get that with trees. You see what I'm saying? There's a responsible way of doing things. Responsible. That's all Yahweh's telling us to be. Responsible people. I put you on this earth to keep it. What does the word keep mean? Go back to the original language, and even in English. If you have to keep something, it means to maintain it. He gave you a pristine earth to live in, and look what we've done to it. It's dying. Waters are polluted, air is polluted, real food is almost non-existent, unless you're growing it yourself. I just read an interesting article that in Russia, they still practice, I think it's pronounced duchas, D-U-C-H-A, duchas or duchas. And it's basically giving the middle class folks opportunity to own 3 to 5 acre plots of ground where they can grow their own food. That's in Russia today. Do you know that 80% of the potatoes that Russians consume come from these little 3 to 5 acre plots, not big corporate farms? Homegrown. Homegrown. Probably organic. I read another article about the fact that there are farmers starting to think about doing things Yahweh's way. They're growing flowers around their pasture fields to keep the pests away. Now, let me just ponder that for a minute. Let's see. We can either spray Roundup, a poison, a chemical that stays in the soil and ends up in the produce, whatever produce they're growing, ends up in the produce, which means it ends up in you and me. We can do it that way, or we could just plant certain flowers around our fields and it will keep the bad pests away. Which of those is more responsible? Which do you think? Which do you think? Proverbs 1, verse 19. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So again, when Scripture is talking about life, they're not literally talking about you going out and putting a knife to your wrist. It's telling you that if you are greedy for gain, greedy for gain, lovers of money, materialistic. What is the root of all evil? The lust of money. I know the book says love, but it's actually lust. Lusting for money. Here in Proverbs, it's greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Why? Because you don't make rational decisions. We just talked about that. Why do people down at the factory do what they do in the factory? Because the people above them that write their paychecks told them to do it. Even though they know it's not right. Not right for the environment. Not right for the product. Not right for the consumer. Not right for the environment. Okay? But they do it because the people that write the checks tell them to do it. Why do law enforcement break the Constitution all the time? Because the people that write their paychecks tell them to do it. So the Antichrist Jew, he realizes that he loves everything being conglomerated, because now all he's got to do is control the money flowing in at the very top, which is what they're best at doing, controlling that flow of money, and now they control whatever's below there. That's how they've done it. Take a look at the structure in America today, the corporate world, the international financiers, the corporations and government. They're all in bed together. At the very top, they're that tiny, tiny percentage at the very top, and yet they control almost everything. How? Through money. Fiat currency created out of thin air. They're controlling you, taking your life away, because you're making your decisions based on people who are not moral. They certainly aren't of our Father Yahweh. James, or Jacob, which is what it was supposed to be called, James chapter 1, verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Yahweh God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There's your solution, folks. 2 Chronicles 7:14, too, right? And I always like this one here in Luke, who was one of the ones who walked with our Messiah. Meanwhile, when a multitude of many thousands had gathered together, so much so that they trampled on each other, he, meaning Messiah, began to tell his disciples first, which means he told the crowd, but he told his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. Remember, leavening is anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. That's the definition of leaven. How do the Jews do it in our white societies? They make small, almost imperceptible changes in all of our institutions, all of our laws, our courts, our structures, and even in the churches. Small, almost imperceptible changes is the leaven of the Pharisees. And yes, they are the world's consummate hypocrites. If you look up in a dictionary the word hypocrite, you'll see the picture of a Jew right next to it. I'm just kidding, of course. But literally, you could put a picture of a Jew there because they are the epitome of hypocrisy. So, Yeshua gave us the clues, but do we pay attention? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23, a prudent or wise man keeps his knowledge or truth, but the hearts of fools proclaim foolishness. Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent or wise man sees danger and hides himself, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. Proverbs 22. The simple pass on. I mean, the simple go about their life as if nothing's wrong. The simple just keep doing what they've been doing, expecting a different result, which is a form of insanity, by the way. Doing the same things over and over but expecting a different result is a form of insanity. The United States government is full of insane morons. Kakistocracy, full of insane morons. Now this is the interesting one here in John chapter 14. The words of Christ, most certainly I tell you, he who believes in me, the works that I do. Now let me repeat that. The works that I do, he will do also. All right, so Yeshua is saying, if you believe in him and the works that he does, you will do them also. So you're capable of doing the same things Yeshua did. And he will do greater works than these because I am going to my Father. I'm going back to where I came from, and therefore you are still here on this earth. Yeshua could do things for us, but why should he? He put us here to do it. He put us here to do it. Psalm 64, verse 2, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I thought the CIA told us there was no such thing as conspiracies. It's just conspiracy theory. Oh, really? Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the violence of the workers of iniquity. Psalm 64, verse 2. That's funny. So you Bible believers, or at least the guys that call themselves Bible believers, right there in Psalms, it's telling you about conspiracy, but how many of you mouth whatever your government gods, your little idols called government, tell you, like CIA, which is a Jewish-run organization, always has been from its inception. John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles were instrumental in creating it, okay? And they were kikes working for kikes. Kike from the beginning. Some words of encouragement before we depart. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon, again, this is Isaiah, the old parchment, no weapon that is formed against you will prevail, and you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Using what? Yahweh's judgment, not your own. This is the heritage of Yahweh's servants, and their righteousness is of me, says Yahweh. Hallelujah. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. If Yahweh be your king, and you're listening, you are not going to have these weapons that are formed by these Antichrist bastards affect you. 1 Chronicles 16, starting at 21. He, Yahweh, allowed no man to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes. Yahweh intervenes for us even as high as presidents and prime ministers, doesn't he? Do not touch my anointed ones. Where's your safety today, folks? Being part of his anointed, isn't it? Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. The real prophets. Sing to Yahweh, all the earth. Display his salvation from day to day. This is backed up if you go to Psalm 105, starting at 13, says almost the exact same thing. They went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. That's why, between you and me, folks, I'm not so sure that the traditional things that we're told about the prophets of old and even the disciples, I'm not sure they were martyred the way that we were told. I believe the enemy told us that to make us afraid. Remember, they always want to make us afraid. They want you to be afraid to be a prophet, to afraid to be one of his anointed, because, oh, they were hunted down and they were done this and done that. And yet right here, the psalmist tells us that he told people as high as kings, do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I'm going to put my faith in that. Fables created by Hollywood and misguided morons within the church world, no, I'm not going to put any faith in them. And did some of the prophets possibly die bad deaths, etc., and some of the disciples? Maybe, but I wasn't there, neither were you. Everything you've got is second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand, fifth-hand information. But this right here makes sense to me. It resonates, as the scripture says, it resonates true. Why would the Father allow these heathen to do his anointed harm? Why would he allow the heathen to harm his prophets? Doesn't make any sense, does it? What kind of father would be to allow his children to be harmed by these reprobates? Who are the people being harmed? People that are not part of his anointed. So like I said for many, many years, doing Yahweh's work is the most enjoyable, rewarding thing you can possibly do on this earth. There is no other job out here that's more rewarding. Not only does it fulfill you in the sense that you're doing something worthwhile, but you're gaining knowledge. You're gaining truth. And my God, we're swimming in lies and deception. But what does the truth bring you? Health? Well-being? Okay? The enemy wants you to be afraid to be associated with our Father, because he knows there's protection there. And he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy this earth. He wants to destroy Yahweh's people. Come out from the fear, folks. Do not let fear guide you in whatever decisions you're making, whether it's health-related, whether it's scripture, whether it's career. Never let fear guide you. Put that fear away. As the Father told us, the spirit of righteousness and the spirit of fear was to be put away from you. Case in point, Psalm 149, verse 4, for Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. Okay? His people. He crowns the humble. There's what separates us, folks. He crowns the humble with salvation. A lot of our people don't know what it means to be humble anymore. We've let ego take over. Put that ego right there on the nightstand when you get up in the morning. We don't need it. We don't need it amongst our people. He certainly doesn't want it, as it says right there in Psalm. Learn humility. And if you don't know what humility means, look it up. It's easy to do. All right. That being said, we're going to close it up for today. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this time together as family. We pray that your words would go out to the ears that are meant to hear and that they would have an effect in that person's life. Your truths are the only thing that matter in this world. The lies and deceptions are all being generated by liars and misfits trying to guide us and lead us into the pit. Let the Holy Spirit ring true in all things, Father. Let it come down through the pineal gland into our bodies and souls that we know the connection that we have with you. This is a spiritual war. The enemy can't have any power over us if we stay strong, stay healthy, and stay in touch with you. They have no power whatsoever. There is a great awakening going on now, Father. We know that. We see evidence of it everywhere. People are now realizing the church world is fake and phony. The Roman Catholic church world is probably the most fake and phony. And, of course, the Lockism of the Jews is world-renowned. Historians have talked about their Jewish supremacism for century upon century upon century, and we certainly see it today in the hubris of these Congress critters like Schumer and Pelosi and Feinstein. Their hubris, their chutzpah, identifies them as enemies of both Christ and his followers. We ask for strong discernment in these latter days, Father. There are many lies out there. We ask that you would give us the drive to implement your truths and lose the fear that grips us, the fear that is used to manipulate us. We look forward to your coming and the reestablishment of this earth in the way that you expected it to be, the way we have turned our backs on it and allowed it to fall in disrepair. May the children of Yahweh awaken and rise up, as Ezekiel 37 tells us, as that great and mighty army that says, no more. We will stand no more for the lies and deceptions, the rape and the murder and the kidnapping. No more the pedophilia and the organ harvesting, the sex slave trade. No more will we tolerate it on this earth. Give us strength and wisdom, Father. Take away our fears and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.